Public hearing ordinance number 1100. Ministry?
Is there a motion?
No, it's a public hearing.
Oh, sorry. So this is the business license component related to the sales tax ordinance. So this is just to establish a registry of borough record of all the businesses actively working in the borough. It's nice to have that for oversight for the community, make sure everybody's playing on an equitable playing field. Certainly they should have a state business license as well, and we do monitor that as well. But this is a good thing that the assembly's wanted us to do for quite some time. The process will start July 1st. So that's when the new business licenses would be required. They are free. So a member of the finance department can assist you in obtaining one. And you know, the renewal will take place every 2 years. So the next even year, so 2028 would be the next renewal cycle in there, or to keep the registry of our businesses current and active so we can maintain good oversight. We've had problems in the past of applying sales tax equitably and making sure that one business is remitting and another's not is a key function of the borough. So we want to make sure that everybody's remitting equitably and some people are paying taxes and others aren't, and make sure there's a good added playing field for everybody in the business arena. So generally this establishes the process pretty simple. I don't need to think I need to add anything else since this is the second reading.
Is public testimony time?
We will be in a second.
Okay,
I'd like to open up public hearing. Is there anybody who'd like to speak on this?
I'd like to ask a question if it's okay.
Yes.
These are questions for you. So on the application that you turn on right now, mm-hmm. the bottom left-hand side, Alaska State Business License Required, right? And the statute I gave you last month, the Alaska State statute, this is a list of exemptions. Are any of those that's in that section that I highlighted and I gave to you? My business is exempt under state.
Yeah. Yep.
How could I apply for state?
Great question.
So that's my question. Am I exempt from that because I'm exempt from the state, or am I still supposed to have to apply for the state and say, I got to get a license, but they say we don't need one?
You'd be exempt from the state. And then okay. I know that Borough Control was in the room, so we can amend those applications to say that if the state exempts you, they don't.
Thank you
very much. Great question. But procedural, we don't need to have anything changing the ordinance.
Anybody else want to speak on? Close public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1100.
Second.
You got it. Motion by Addison, seconded by Powers. Motion or roll call, please.
Okay. Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Addison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Okay, so we're on the bills. Unfinished business, there is none. Moving on to new business.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Hey, new business, approval of FY 2027 Wrangell Public Schools budget and local funding contribution in amount of $1,758,500. I need a motion.
Move the FY 2027 Wrangell Public Schools budget and local funding contribution in the amount of
$1,758,500. By Powers and seconded by Mock administration.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. So, very important item. This is our approval or local contribution to the school district. We do this each year. We did have two work sessions leading up to this local contribution. I wasn't able to participate in the last one as I was in Jacksonville, but I know we had some Road administration involved in that. Sounds like there were some good conversations somewhat. And we are proposing this year a contribution consistent with what was requested in the budget. And if we have some funding after we go through the rest of our budget, there could be another proposal to potentially increase if that's up to the assembly. But the requested amount was $1,758,500 in their draft budget. Their maximum is in excess of 1.9 million. The maximum continues to increase, so does the minimum. The largest borough contribution we've ever done is 1.6 million and change. I think it was 1.617, but that's in prior year's budgets. I have that in the appendix section. So this is a fairly big jump for the borough, but what makes this a little bit more comfortable for us is we did have Secure Rural Schools reinstated, which is an $807,000 shot in the arm each year. So that makes this a little bit more realistic for us to pull off. And given they've addressed their, they put this in their budget, they have planned for this, and you have some new leadership, I'd be willing to support them in this next budget cycle. We have the $1.758 million is broken out between three proposed revenue sources. We have the sales tax 20% that goes to the local state school district local contribution fund. So 20% gets allocated to this basically shell fund that waits until a holding fund until it goes to the school district. If they don't utilize all that or we don't fund out all out of that each year, it saves and is dedicated to the school district, but it stays on the borough side. That would be $800,000 from the sales tax, $500,000 out of secure rural schools, and $458,500 out of property tax revenue, which is about 1.75 mils this year. So important thing is the mill rate's the next item on the agenda. So if you're not comfortable with this or you want some consideration and discussion around that, we could get to talk a little bit, blend those two items a little bit in this conversation. The general fund, we should be somewhere around the neighborhood of 7.3 in revenues across the general fund this year. Pretty similar to last year, a little bit increased due to sales tax. We're gonna try to cut the budget down to about 6.2 million, which will develop a 1.1 million surplus before funding the Nolan Center, Parks and Rec, the schools contribution, and any capital projects, right? So you have that, but you also have Secure Rural Schools back online. And we did get a retroactive payment. So we're looking at about 1.6 million in Secure Rural Schools. At the end of this year, we'll have about 1.5 million in Secure Rural Schools after those retroactive payments have came online and we've paid for our projects for the year, which were, we did the high school elevator already, and we did our debt service for the school bonds already, or we will in June, but we have to pay that. So that's coming out of there. And then we have the above ground storage tank at the school that you guys approved the contract with Schmock Mechanical. So after all those, we get a revenue from Secure Rural School. We'll have 1.5 million going into this next year. The local contribution, $500,000 coming from that 1.5 brings it down to a million. Then our debt service the next year, about $250,000 brings it out to 750,000. We get back our next payment for Secure Rural Schools, which we would reasonably expect to be around 800,000 like we've been getting. Back to 1.5. So in theory, we have 1.5 in Secure Rural Schools funds and savings, essentially our reserves, but we have a $1.1 million surplus to get us a slope roof for Parks and Rec that needs to still be funded as part of the school project, a Nolan Center roof recoding, the McKinnon Street project, which will be on the hook for $900,000 for, and we still got to fund the operations at the Parks and Rec Nolan Center. We can do all that with this contribution. Anything more, I'd have to start cutting projects and then start cutting operations from there. So just want to kind of give you a little bit of math behind it, but we can afford this without any tax increases for the community, which we haven't increased the mill rate since we've all been together at all. And I would propose that stay the same tonight.
Have any
discussion?
Yeah, no room discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I do have kind of a peripheral thing here. I'm generally okay with the 1.758, and we've been talking about that for the last several work sessions. But going back two sessions, we proposed a MOU that dictated some a little more discipline and a better relationship that's structured. What it was, we always come down to this take or leave it type of thing. And at the last meeting, that MOU was, I would say, dismissed, or I can't say that they didn't say hell no, but they said they were not comfortable with it. I took to imply they're not going to sign that. They don't agree with it. Perhaps at all. So I'm wondering, how do we hook? In my mind, that's what I'm comfortable with the amount, but we need to look into the future. And in order to have some more comfortable way of moving forward, I'd really like us to try to get that MOU, and I'm open to how to do that. Perhaps even to attach it here as an element to this, if that gets signed.
Thanks, Assemblymember Donahoe.
I'm open.
To try to answer it a little bit. So I had a discussion with our borough attorney some months ago, just because the local contribution that inevitably we always have been told, you know, we can't appropriate funds of the borough for the school district. Of course, that's not something that we do or plan to do. So we got to stay away from that. But you can condition funds in excess of the minimum. You can appropriate those funds, but you can create some expectations around it. I think that MOU does it. And that's why we proposed it. I asked him in advance of doing an MOU, is just to have those expectations set up. And an MOU is non-binding. It's not to say that, you know, we're not responsible for the school district. We are financially responsible for them. That's a fact. So is the state of Alaska. So you can condition it. I would recommend that in doing that, you just say approval local contribution at 1.758 million contingent on the MOU or the spirit of the MOU being followed and implemented in FY27. And, you know, that can be a little bit of a variation, but I think generally from our perspective, it's not like we're trying to establish any unreasonable expectation. We just want to know when capital projects are needed early and often. That's a good thing for our budget, so we can plan and get it in our budget. If we find out this time of year it's not happening because we already got a bunch of other needs we've been planning for, you know, they already do performance reports to the community, so that's already checked off the box for the list. But I think it's important for them to come to us each year and say what's going well, what's not, how can the borough help, try to get a grant program established for a deficiency in the school district or to improve something that can be a stimulus to the local school district. And the other is, I don't have to go through the whole MOU right now, but I don't think there's anything too bad in there. So you can condition it, and the default would be, you know, you could do a lesser amount, but I would say just let's condition it contingent upon the spirit of that MOU being followed and for us to communicate as prescribed. And then meeting, I understand that I wasn't at that meeting, so I didn't hear any comments on the MOU. I wasn't able to listen into it, but I don't think meeting multiple times a year is a bad thing. I think we should be kind of lockstep in supporting them and having good programming for our school district to offer to incoming families and existing Wrangell residents. Education in Alaska, it's a poor story right now. Across the board, it's that we're not competitive with the lower 48 and the product that we're turning out. It's just not as good. And it's because it's not funded well. And the format that we do fund school districts. I mean, if it was going well, you wouldn't be seeing two elementary schools shut down in Ketchikan and 40-something layoffs, and up north district didn't shut down. And part of that's our economic story in Alaska, but I won't get too far into the weeds, but generally you can condition it.
You know, I want to make a point. I view that MOU as something that we're requesting them to help us with. It really benefits us and them also, but it's not a imposition, I don't think, on them. It's just that we need things from them in a timely manner in a certain way that could be beneficial to both. They didn't really express why they were not happy with it. It just heard it was concerns about the word. Thanks. It was very vague. I also not sure that everybody had looked at it hard. There did not have a good conversation about it.
Okay.
So is that a formal thing we would
you can just attach it. You can like amend the motion to be contingent on the four elements of the MOU or spirit of the MOU or something like that. Again, an MOU is like a non-binding thing. So and what I would expect is we pass this contribution and that contribution is going to happen. But the expectation is if we're going to give these, you know, almost maximums or, you know, a maximum contribution, these are the things that are going to set us up well to do that. It's really what the MOU is really doing. Like if you spend down your reserves and the state cuts funding and you're at 1% of your general fund expenditures saved up, that puts us in a really poor position for that fiscal year to where we're not doing any road work, we're not doing any building capital projects or certainly new economic development stuff. So that's why we're trying to bring this to light.
I really think that they thought, in my views of reading stuff off that meeting, that they thought that we were trying to tell them what they could do, you know, and that's not what the MOU was about. I think that honestly, even in the meeting when we approved the MOU, and I voted yes on it also, and I just thought it was kind of weird that we didn't come to an MOU agreement. You know what I mean? I believe that there was a lot of people that did not even understand what was happening. MOU, maybe they didn't read it. Maybe they read it and had questions and didn't answer the questions. I have no idea. When you say contingents on that, you're kind of saying that here's the money, but now you're going to follow MOU. And like you say, the problem with MOUs is they're non-binding, and we don't have to follow. I know what Mason's intent was on this, and I agree with his intent on this, that, you know, when something happens and the school knows about it, it would be very nice for us not to know 3 months down the line, but to know when they know. And at this point right now, I don't think we really are. We don't always get that right away. So I don't know about saying about a contingent on, because it kind of sounds like we're not going to give you the money. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to soften the language and say like to follow the spirit of the MOU. You know, and we're not going to give what's approved in tonight's meeting. That's going to happen.
Exactly.
But next year, if reserves are down to $0 and we're expected to cover that reserve amount plus their deficit, then it's something that could be insurmountable even if the maximum is provided. So that would be something for consideration. But I do think on the positive side of all this, you have a real opportunity at the district to understand there's some turnover and there's an opportunity to come out, you know, as a better product in the long run for the school district. And I know that they got a rock star maintenance director that's been already really productive for the borough and the project this summer, and a willingness to kind of manage that project. So that helps and follows the spirit of this MOU. Sure. So those types of things are already moving forward and happening, which is awesome. And, I support Josh and Superintendent Garrett getting some new vision for the school district because it's needed.
I was at the meeting, right? And sort of both boards. But we really did, I feel like we kind of hashed through it. We didn't really like take a fine tooth comb. So I do feel like there was some people that really hadn't dug through it so much, but I'm aware from both sides. And when it first was released, there was this kind of reserved feeling that was like, we're different entities. What's happening here? Like maybe there was some sort of like, no, you knew it or else kind of feeling. So I helped dispel that. But at that meeting, to me, there's three main parts that was the spirit of the MOU, if you want to use that, the SMOU.
Yeah, I don't know why I started saying that.
was the making sure that we end at around 10%, which is the state, you know, that's our state cap anyway.
Yep.
The capital projects being alerted at a certain time to help.
Yep.
What date did you
say? I think I put October 1st.
October. So, and he addressed that and said, well, that's hard. Do we do February? And everyone's like, well, that's ridiculous. He said, no, but for the following year. So he actually moved it back a half of a year or more, right? And then our progress updates, you know, the things that we're doing well, we communicate those at every single meeting.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like all of the SMOUs are, it's already feng shui. Like there's stuff that was happening, but I feel like just that meeting in general, we did address those three main things and offered ideas. So he said, maybe we can't get 10%, which we fairly well are this season.
Yeah.
But if it's 7 or 10, you know, somewhere in that window is kind of the main concept. So I feel like, honestly, if you put some sort of conditional language, I feel like then that spirit of togetherness kind of goes away. Yeah. It says, we're going to give it to you, but it still has that feeling of weightiness on it. And that doesn't feel together to me.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents.
Deputy Mayor. I would maybe propose that we pass this and have administrative intent language with it, that we continue to work on getting that agreed to by both parties. Because I do think it's important to document that.
I think that's a better approach.
Can we do that, Kim, without...
You don't need a motion. You can just give direction to administration.
That would be my preference, because I have no problem with the budget.
Yeah. If
except bigger concerns about the future. This will be easy and comfortable.
Yeah, if I get 6 head nods, you guys all good with just continuing?
You understand what it's...
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll do that. So, it'll be good.
Assembly members Audison,
yes.
Dalrymple,
yes.
DeBoard,
yes.
Powers,
yes.
Mock,
yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell.
Yes.
Resolution number 05-26-2054 of the Assembly of the City of Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, levying a general tax for school and municipal purposes upon all taxable property within the borough for the tax year 2026, pursuant to Wrangell's Municipal Code Section 5-04-010, providing for the collection of taxes due in FY 2027 and prescribing penalties and interest for delinquent taxes. Can I get a motion, please?
Move to approve resolution number 05-26-2054.
Second.
Anybody else? Second by Powers.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. So this is our annual adoption mill rate. We're doing this a bit earlier than in years past. We typically do this either the next meeting or the meeting after. So that's kind of helpful with the budget get this done. We're proposing to build our budget around the current mill rates that we've had. And I actually realized that we have made an error. It's 925 that we have our current mill rate out, right? It's 975. Okay, I'm maybe I was complaining. Getting tired of the night, I guess. So we've had the mill rate at 975 for the last few years, ever since the property assessments went up, I think in 2022 or 2023 tax year. We had a pretty big shift in a true up in our property tax values. Then we lowered the mill rate from 1275 down 3 mills to 975 for Wrangell proper here. The assessed values for 2026, barring about three, I believe, contested appeals for the Board of Equalization, I think those are all going to be resolved. So this is about the figure we're working with, almost to a T. $260,177,964 in total property tax assessed value after exemption. If the Assembly recalls, we did restructure our tax zones. We formerly used to have inside service area and outside of service area, but we wanted to kind of find a solution for our obligations down at Myers Check. We just threw $1 million into their rain infrastructure, and there's no really way for us to recoup that kind of thing. So we did create the qualified service tax zone where there's other financial burdens that may be considered in an outside of service area environment. So this service tax zone, Wrangell proper, property up $238 million. This is all referenced on page 168 of your packet. $238 million in assessed value. Qualified service area, this is specifically the Myers Check parcels, $8.9 million in assessed value, so not very much in comparison to the service tax zone, obviously. And then the out of service would be everything else off the island other than Myers Check. So you'd have Skate River, Olive Cove, Tom's Place, Zaremba, Wrangell Island East, and so on and so forth. So that's $13 million in assessed value. Total property tax revenue generated is just about the same as last year. So we're not making any more property tax revenue than in previous periods. It's $2.428 million. You can see the property tax revenues collected historical on the bottom of that page with the bar chart. We collected $2,415,000 last year is what was expected in tax year 25. And we have $2.428 million this year. So we have less than a $15,000 increase in tax revenues, subject to change a little bit, but not much, like I said. And we are proposing a mill rate of 975 again for service tax zone, for 6, which is a new tax zone for Myers Check parcels, and 4 for all the others, Skeen River, Tom's Place, Frank Mile East, et cetera. So keeping the mill rate the same generally, other than the qualified tax zone. I'm happy to answer any questions. And
so I had a citizen ask me a question the other day, and I forgot all about it, and I was going to ask you, so I'm asking you now.
Sure.
You have people in Myers Check that live there, and then you have people that actually don't live there but have, you know, houses or cabins like they do up here. And in our tax zone, we have where you can claim, as a senior, you know, $150,000, okay? Mm-hmm. How does that work from people that actually have houses in Ketchikan, but also have a house in Myers Check? Are they able to claim that in both zones?
That's a great question. The principal residence exemption for seniors is one eligible dwelling for the state of Alaska that we are required, mandated to allow. However, there could be circumstances where there's some crossover that, you know, municipalities aren't catching. I could see that as happening, but we would not allow that if that were the case. So that brings to light a good question. I don't know that municipalities are doing a lot of cross-referencing. Somebody could have a permanent residence that they get the exemption for in Ketchikan and try to apply in Wrangell, but certainly that would be against state statute and there'd be some legal challenges.
Was it the question someone asked me?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple,
yeah.
DeBoard,
yeah.
Powers,
yes.
Mock,
yeah.
Audison,
yeah.
And Vice Mayor Powell.
Yeah. Resolution number 05-26-2046, a joint resolution of Assembly of the Petersburg Borough and the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell supporting responsible economic development, coordinated utilization of hydroelectric resources from the Tyee Lake Project and intercommunity communications regarding large energy users.
Move to approve resolution number 05-26-2046.
Second. Made by Austin, second by Dalrymple.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. So this is also really exciting because it's coupled with the CEPA lease that you guys just passed. So, you know, we got the preferential treatment over this new project. We're the only community that have a legacy hydro project to have an inventory for generation. But the communities of Petersburg and Wrangell do split the shared resource of Tyee that's in the power sales agreement, which currently generates 24 megawatts. There's two turbines. They're adding a third for 36, which technically the communities of Wrangell and Petersburg will be allowed to have in priority fashion. And there's gonna be a big debate on that for everybody to keep an eye out for as it relates to the power sales agreement. That said, in an attempt to manage a shared power resource responsibly as communities, Petersburg has helped us jointly develop a resolution to split Tyee down the middle, 12 megawatts and 12 megawatts. I think that's a very fair deal for us, being a smaller community by quite some size. And that coupled with the fact that long-term, we get another 5 megawatts out of our solar project for Spirit. We got then 17 megawatts. That's a big deal for our community. Right now, we're probably burning four or less. I don't really know what people are keeping their homes with right now, but altogether, this puts us in a really great position. The other element of this joint resolution, which by the way, doesn't happen ever. We never do joint resolutions with other communities unless it's like Sea Otters or policy or something like that. So it's a pretty big deal to get these things across because this Petersburg Assembly already approved this. And that is a commitment to coordinate economic development that's really large. For example, we bring on Jag Shipyard. There's 5 megawatts being used to haul out a ship at one point in time. That's going to impact Petersburg. So we're going to have good communication between parties. If they bring on a data center over there, which is now a conversation with Petersburg and not so much here, we're going to have to have a conversation on how that is. But this 12 megawatt split handles most of it. In essence, if we are the cause of going over, for example, down the line, we're burning 15 megawatts and they're burning 9, we're running our diesels because we're burning more power off the shared resource. Vice versa, if they're burning 15 megawatts and we're burning 9, and that forces us to run diesels, well, they're running diesels, because that's not fair because we get the equitable share. So I think this is a really great show of partnership between the communities, and it's very timely that it's happening with the same night as the CEPA lease adoption. So I'm proud of this ordinance or this resolution, along with the efforts by Carl Hagerman and everybody in Petersburg.
Any questions? Open.
Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Approval of amendment to JAG Marine Group lease agreement.
Motion. Move to approve the amended JAG Marine Group lease agreement.
Second.
Motion made by Austin, second by DeBoard.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. So I'm going to try and make quick work of this one. You guys already approved a lease agreement with JAG Marine Group. They went through and redlined a more desirable version for them that fits their needs. Hopefully you had the opportunity to read through some of those. Most of the significant changes revolve around the exclusivity period that matches our NDA. There is one amendment I would like to propose in this lease agreement, and it's under the framework for the revenue share long-term agreement. And I'll scroll down to that section. I'm just finding it. It's section 27, I believe, and it's on page, whoops. It is on page 190, page 200 of your packet. And it's section, it's the strikeout F version. This exclusivity provision in there kind of applies indefinitely or the perpetual period. I'm just saying we want to amend this to say, and you guys can just give me the permission to do it. You don't have to do an emotion, amend motion, but for the exclusivity period for negotiating with other parties outside of JAG, Marine Group to terminate along with the term of this agreement, right? So they don't want to have a circumstance where, you know, they do all this work, we're jointly funding design, and we get this thing off the ground, and all of a sudden we're like, nah, we don't want to work with you. We're going to go work with the Koreans and put up a shipyard with them. They give us a better deal. That's not in the spirit of our partnership. Keep saying spirit. Well, let's you guys. Other than that, generally just more clarification throughout the lease agreement. They did a great job marking this up, but nothing super consequential for us. So I've had the borough attorney review this. He's agreeable to all the changes.
Any questions? Anybody do that?
What do you need from us to?
Just honestly, six head nods that you guys are okay with that section to be amended to the exclusivity matches the term of this lease. Yeah. Great.
Yes, Assembly Members Powers.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Audison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
DeBoard.
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell.
Yes. Resolution number 05-26-2057 of the Assembly of the City of Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, endorsing and adopting the Southeastern Marine Slide Risk Reduction Strategic Plan and establishing an effective date. Motion, please.
Move to approve resolution number 05-26-2057.
Second.
Motion opposite, second by Mark.
Thanks, Vice Mayor Powell. So this is strategic plan generated by the SLIP folks. This is actually something that was recommended to me by ex-Mayor Persunka, who's participated in some of those, as well as Chief Unes. This is a plan, and we're just adopting this plan and saying we're committed to following the strategic plan elements. And there's really five components of the plan: mapping and understanding risk, early warning systems, planning and mitigation, response to recovery, community awareness, and preparedness. We've had a lot of stakeholder discussions across the region. Certainly, landslides have impacted a variety of communities, including Haines-Sitka, Wrangell, Ketchikan in recent years. So want to be prepared for those circumstances, understand them, and how to protect our community and mitigate for future disasters. From that's something that's near and dear to us. And this is just an option of the plan, and that we're going to follow it. So,
any questions?
Just briefly, I knew about it, but I was paying attention. I was just looking for the Forest Service role in this thing. It's pretty, basically, they provided input into it. But, I don't know if do you know how they're embracing it, because landslides happen on their ground.
Yeah, it's a good question, Assemblymember Dalrymple. I'm not really sure as to the level of the U.S. Forest Service's engagement in this. There's a lot of transition happening in those years where this was developed too. So maybe this was something that they didn't offer a lot of participation, but certainly important to them. Our landslide went through a prior Forest Service area where there was infrastructure associated with an old Forest Service road, and that could have well had an impact on it. So I think that they'll be at the table in future discussions, but I wasn't actually actively involved in this plan adoption, so I can tell you.
I don't think it's probably really that important, but I think we should continue to focus on this in the forest plan. Landslide risk and landslide management, especially the monitoring. They would put those monitoring stations on their land, which is the key to this. That would be wonderful. Not so much if we have to do it.
Yeah.
And get a special permit from.
Yeah, I agree. I know Senator Murkowski's been pretty instrumental in trying to secure funding for those early warning system and advisory systems. I think she's been partnering with other senators in Washington to do that. I think Cantwell, and so hopefully that creates an opportunity for that down the line.
No.
Yes. Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Watteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Resolution number 05-26-2048 of Assembly of City and Borough of Langley, Alaska, providing for several amendments to union job descriptions and amending the union wage and pay table and providing for an effective date. Motion, please.
Move to approve resolution 05-26-2048.
Second.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. So this is the easier of the two restructuring items tonight. This is for union positions, specifically reclassifying the facility maintenance specialist to a ground maintenance lead. That results in a one grade increase. The union has actually approached us regarding this specific job description. They are responsible for other personnel and leading temps in some cases too. So we felt this was a commensurate adjustment. Increasing the Parks and Rec facility maintenance supervisor from grade 17 to 19, that aligns with the facility maintenance lead that will follow the facility maintenance department over to Public Works, and this would be the recreation facility. So that there's some parity there that would happen anyway, but we feel like it's good to resolve these things early and often. And then the third component that was related to this was stripped off the agenda regarding the diesel mechanic groundsman's position. We're going to go ahead and look at restructuring that in the garage and the fleet, like we talked about a work session tonight. So overall, $18,000 change for the union wage and grade table and the employees that are related to that. There's a ton of job descriptions in here. That's probably the more important thing is the new assignments of roles. And I'd like to thank Executive Assistant Megan Powell. She's also ready to get out of here probably. She went through every one of these job descriptions and reformatted and assigned the new responsibilities that we wanted to as part of this restructure. So I'm simply just gonna say, you know, do you guys have any questions? This is one of those items that I can't really explain. We just have to their stuff. So if you have any questions, please let me know. We covered most of this in the work session.
Assembly members Audison, Dalrymple,
yes.
DeBoard,
yes.
Powers,
yes.
Mock,
yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell.
Yes. Resolution number 05-26-2049 of Assembly of the City of Rural Rango, Alaska, providing for several amendments to the non-union job description, amending the non-union page and grade tables, and providing for an effective date. Motion, please.
Move to approve resolution number 05-26-2049.
Second.
Moved by Dalrymple, second by Powers.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. So again, this is following the non-union portion of the restructure plan that was presented in the work session. Namely, it is allowing for those departmental changes, the changes in supervisors, the shift in responsibilities. So we have, again, the garage moving over to the light and power department. We have facilities maintenance moving over to public works, and parks and recreation retaining the groundskeeping and recreational facility maintenance. We have the finance department defunding the borough controller position and the property and sales tax clerk, and then the economic development department taking on a land and planning manager position consistent with what Petersburg is actually doing right now. So that's kind of a recap what we talked about. More specifically, we're proposing grade adjustments to the, in addition to that, we're proposing a grade adjustment to the capital projects director from grade 35 to grade 37. There's parity between that and the finance director role after we've evaluated that. There's a lot of technical work that's consistent with what the finance director does, so we think there's parity in that change. Reclassifying the economic development and planning director from grade 33 to 34, that brings it up to other directors in that class. Again, just trying to create parity in the wage and grade table on the non-union side. We are adding the public works assistant director into this, which is what we talked about in the restructure, and assigning that at grade 32. And then reclassifying the senior project manager that was formerly on the wage and grade table, again, getting that out of there, having a construction project manager level one and two. Your level two is going to focus predominantly, it's almost like a city engineer role is what that role is characterized along with building official duties. But whether you're one or two, you'll be expected to have the building official responsibilities for building permit and all the way through into inspection. So enforcement of code, everything. Then we have adding the lands manager in lieu of the rail controller position. So happy to talk through any of those, but otherwise, I'll entertain any questions.
Questions? Is this the one that he is
about? He is, yeah. He is, right, correct.
Any questions? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Resolution number 05-26-2051 of the Assembly in the City of Rural Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget and the residential construction fund by accepting revenue from the sales of the Aldertop subdivision lot 9, block 1 of the Aldertop subdivision, an amount of $75,600.
You could approve resolution number 05-26-2051.
Second. Moved by Austin, second by Dalrymple.
Thanks, Vice Mayor Powell. You've done this about 20 times now, so I think you guys get the notion. $75,000 to residential construction for Sun for the sale of lot 9 and all done.
Roll call, please.
Yes, assembly member, where am I at here? DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Resolution number 05-26-2052 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget in the Water Department CIP fund by accepting the loan funds in the amount of $472,865 from the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund, appropriating these funds to the McKinnon Street Rehabilitation Project and authorizing their expenditures.
Need to approve resolution number 05-26-2052.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Oh.
Sorry.
Move the house and second.
We're cruising right along. I'm getting antsy. I'm going to speak to the next, this item and the next one because they're exactly the same, just different funds. The first one is related to the McKinnon water utility installation. So that's $472,000 in complete loan forgiveness. So we have to follow the state's process and we have to apply for a loan and then they determine how much forgiveness to give us. They give us 100% on both the water and the sewer utilities, but we still have to sign a loan document, go through the same procurement processes and substantiate everything. So the only thing we'll be responsible for is a 0.5% finance charge off this nearly $900,000 between the two of them. And you do the math on that, it's, you know, about $4,500 for $1 million almost. That's a pretty good deal. So we will likely see about $1 million in general fund money going towards this project, not spending it in a deficit, but this is $900,000. So it'll pay for everything for the water and sewer utilities. We're just responsible for the surfacing for that project. So a huge help on a big project. And I don't have anything else on it.
Assembly members Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison? Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yeah. Resolution number 05-26-2055 for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget in the Sewer Department CIP fund by accepting loan funds in the amount of $464,729 from the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, appropriating these funds. The McKinnon Street Rehabilitation Project and authorizing their expenditures.
Move to approve resolution number 05-26-2055.
Second.
Moved by Allison, second by Powers.
Hey, you guys, Mayor Powell, same thing except for wastewater utilities from McKinnon Street.
No question. Poll, please.
Sorry. Assembly member. Assembly members Ma?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell.
We'll accept the resignation of Michael Austin from the Borough Assembly effective at the close of the May 12, 2027 regular assembly meeting. No motion, you can't leave.
Doesn't work that way. No.
Nope.
It's just to accept the resignation.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Move to approval to accept the resignation of Mike Austin from Borough Assembly effective at the close of May 12, 2026 regular assembly meeting.
Second. Made by Mott, second by DeBoer.
I really have an administrative report, but I'd like to thank Assembly Member Austin for the rest of the community and wish him well in his next endeavor.
Yeah.
Hopefully here locally in Wrangell. For the clerk, just some clarification on the procedure for a new assembly member. That'd be good for everybody to know.
Sure. So tomorrow I will send a public notice that is advertising for the appointment of a assembly member to serve until October 2026. And the hope is that we will receive at least one application and put that on the June 9th meeting for appointment. And the assembly makes that appointment.
That lasts till October.
Until October 2026, where it will go on the ballot, that seat for a 3-year term, because his term would have been up this year anyway.
Great. So if anybody's listening online, please submit your letters for appointment to assembly.
Yep.
And
by email, by in person. Yeah.
Yeah. And just thanks for your service. I think that you guys all volunteer a lot of time to these roles and you don't get paid to do it. And, you know, whether you feel appreciated or not, I do, and the staff
does. I do,
too. So, yeah. Thank
you. Okay. Roll, please.
Okie doke. Let's see. Assembly members Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Board?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Attorney files are available in assembly meeting with the local clerk's office and working on the next session.
Need a motion?
I need a motion.
You can make it.
Oh, no.
No, you're not.
Pursuant to 44-62-310C2, that we recess into an executive session and invite the borough clerk into the session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, specifically the annual review of the borough.
So borough manager, not borough clerk. So you said invite the borough clerk. Should be borough manager. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. No, my fault. Just clarifying.
Second.
Third.
Who seconded it? Most of Mock. Second by Mock.
All right.
Okay.
What? Full vote. Full vote.
Vote.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison? Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes.